Friends, if you have a Bible now, would you turn to the book of Revelation, please? The book of Revelation, and I would invite you to open up God's Word and follow me today. The book of Revelation, chapter 20, and we're going to read from the verse number 11. So the book of Revelation, chapter 20, reading from the verse number 11, and I want to speak for a few minutes on God's great judgment day. Let's have no distractions if possible as we turn to the Scriptures. Revelation 20 and the verse number 11. John writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." We'll stop there at verse number 15. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the preaching of his word. Let's pray. Father, we just pray now for these next few minutes as we come around your word, that Lord, you would take away all distractions. Lord, I ask again for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I ask for a fresh cleansing in your blood. And pray, Lord, today that this message might change the lives of men and women and young people, even boys and girls that are gathered. We thank you for Brother Peter. Thank you how you've gifted this young man, and pray that you would use him mightily in these days. Lord, we realize that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And pray, Lord, that right now that you would shut us in with yourself and speak to many souls. And we'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I think we would all agree, by way of introduction, that there's many parts of the book of Revelation which people debate, which people argue about, which people don't fully understand. But the verses that we have read today are very simple, and they are very clear. And these verses make it clear that there's going to be a final judgment. There's going to be a day when God is going to judge this world. And the entire Bible actually speaks about this day. For instance, in the book of Romans, we read about a day of wrath. The book of Jude speaks about the great day of judgment. And in Acts 17:31, the Apostle Paul tells us that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the whole world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. There are many other references, but this is a reality. And I believe this personally with all of my heart. There is coming a day when God is going to judge this world. God is going to judge the unsaved. And God is going to hold this world to account. Sadly, we are living in days when many never think of this great day. Many never think that they're going to stand before God. Many never think about the great eternity. Many people believe, and maybe this is you today, many people believe that death is the end. I remember taking a gospel mission in Carrickfergus a few years ago, and a man said, "Son, I'm getting into the ground, and that will be the end of me." I said, "Sir, would you not think about getting saved? Would you not think about getting right with God and you can go to heaven?" He says, "I'm getting into the ground and that will be the end of me." Do you know, just after that gospel mission in Carrickfergus, that same man was launched out into eternity. The same man that said, "Son, I'm getting into the ground, that will be the end of me," now he's in the great eternity. I wonder today where he is. Every unsaved soul will be at this great white throne of judgment. And men and women today, young people, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be at this great white throne of judgment. And very quickly and simply in the gospel message, I want to leave three simple thoughts about God's great judgment day. This is the message the Lord has laid on my heart for this meeting. And I believe it's for someone listening today. First of all, if you're taking notes, we're going to consider the setting to this judgment. Notice the setting. Look at verse 11. John writes, pictured in your mind. Can you see it? He says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So here before us, we have a great white throne. The great here speaks of power and of authority. The white speaks of purity, and the throne speaks of purpose. And the Apostle John gets a powerful vision of what will happen. And notice, folks, that the judge is not mentioned by name. Notice that. There's no name mentioned. But we all know who the judge is. Because right throughout the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is exalted. He is praised. And he is glorified, and the Lord Jesus here will be the great judge. Right throughout Scripture, Jesus is known as the shepherd. He is known as the door. He is known as the bridegroom. He is known as the Alpha and the Omega, the Son of Man. But here he is as the judge. And listen to him in John 5:22. This is a powerful verse. The Lord Jesus states, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And notice again in verse 11 of our chapter that the judge is sitting. Notice that. The judge is sitting. Because now the Lord Jesus has finished his work on the cross. And it is now time to judge. Down through the years, we have seen the Queen of England sitting on her throne, haven't we? We have seen the servants. We have seen the pomp, the dress, the crown of jewels. But the Bible describes Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's who I'm serving today. The King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And I love him with all of my heart. Dear Christian friend today, what a privilege it is to serve Jesus Christ. This throne that we're looking at today, it speaks of virtue. It speaks of authority. It speaks of holiness. And this is going to be a terrifying place for the sinner. Terrifying place. And this is what drives me as an evangelist to win souls. I don't want any man or woman or young person at this great white throne of judgment. We're told that heaven and earth has fled away. Think about that. Everything stable has now gone. Everything solid has gone. Everything familiar, every landmark, every stone, every hiding place is gone. There's nothing left but emptiness. A throne, a figure, a face, and fear. There will never be a courtroom quite like this one. Hands up, anybody ever been in court? I see a few hands up. I'm not asked what for. But there will never be a courtroom quite like this one. There will be no jury here. Maybe some of you have done jury service. There will be no jury here. There will be no appeal here. There will be no solicitors, no grace, no love, no second chances here. No community service. There'll be no prison here. There'll be no more drive-in services. No more opportunities to be saved. This will be the very end for all sinners. And your life will be revealed. If I'm driving down the Crumlin Road in Belfast, I'm sure many of you know where the Crumlin Road is. I often look at the courthouse on the Crumlin Road. And I think of the trials that have taken place in the Crumlin Road courthouse down through the years. I think of the trials. I think of the sentences given. I think of the criminals that have been in there. But this will be so much different. This great white throne. Folks, when Jesus Christ, when he came the first time, he was spat upon. He was mocked. He was humiliated. He was beaten. He was scorned. He was the Lamb the first time. But now he is the righteous judge. Even coming up to Christmas, people don't mind baby Jesus too much. But we don't hear much about him here as the judge. Even coming down the motorway there, Sprucefield today is packed. Packed with people celebrating the birth of somebody that they don't know. Even the Abbey Centre there in Newton Abbey, packed yesterday. Saw some videos on the internet, packed. It's great today, this drive-in service is packed. This is where I want to be, with God's people on the Lord's Day. We have the setting. Here my second point, and your attention is wonderful. Got the setting. Notice secondly now, the summons. And look at verses 12 and 13 of our chapter. Verses 12 and 13, here we have the summons. John writes, I saw the dead. Again, picture it in your mind. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And look at verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. So the unsaved from the beginning of time will gather at this great white throne of judgment. People from every generation are going to be here. People from every nation are going to be here. The great and the small, kings and queens, politicians, businessmen, people with knighthoods, people with MBAs, OBEs, people with letters after their name, the high of society, the low of society, the rich, the poor, people of great influence, people of little influence. Alexander will be there. Napoleon will be there. Hitler will be there. Stalin will be there. Pontius Pilate will be there. Judas Iscariot will be there. People that I'd visited on their deathbeds over the years who died without Jesus Christ, they will be there. People in your town are going to be there. I wonder how many people from Rathrylland are going to be there. I wonder how many people from Drumara are going to be there. From the Donegal Road in Belfast where I live, I wonder how many are going to be there. Kilburn Street, the street that I live in, 100 houses in my wee Terrace Street. I wonder how many of them are going to be there. People in your family that die without Jesus Christ, they're going to be there. People in your school, your college, your university, all those that have died without the Savior will be at the great white throne of judgment. What a wide scope of people gathered. People from every walk of life. Deep-dyed sinners are going to be here. I wonder today, is there a deep-dyed sinner at this drive-in? A deep-dyed sinner. Murderers. Unrepentant murderers will be at this throne. Unrepentant thieves, adulterers, idolaters, immoral people, the atheist, the person who hates the church, the person who hates Jesus Christ, satanic worshippers, those that abuse children, they will all be at this throne. There will be no light sentences here. Deep-dyed sinners will be here. Listen. The self-righteous person will also be here. I meet all these individuals right throughout our province, self-righteous people. They will say, son, I don't need this gospel. I'm okay the way I am. I don't need salvation. I don't need Jesus. I'm a good person. I will get to heaven my own way. And they died without the Lord, the self-righteous person. They will be at this throne. Those in false religions will also be there. False religions. And there's many right throughout the world. But what did Jesus Christ say in John 14, 6? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I would say that the majority of people here today wants to go to heaven, or you wouldn't have come. You could be doing 100 other things, but there's something within your heart has brought you here. And I believe you want to go to heaven, but you must come God's way, because he writes the rules. And Jesus told a religious man, Nicodemus, in John 3, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, friends, it's wonderful today to be born again of the Spirit of the living God. And you can have it today. Jesus Christ is among us. He said, when the two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, I will be in the midst. And you can get ready to go to heaven today. Maybe you've been thinking about it over these weeks, over these months. Maybe you've been coming to these drive-in services and God is speaking to your heart. Come to the Savior today. He says, my Spirit will not always strive with man. Maybe he spoke to you at another meeting and you were thinking about it. You were almost staying behind to get saved. But you went on home. You're back again today. Oh, friend, I pray that if God is speaking to you afresh, today the Bible says, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. Deep-dyed sinners will be there. The self-righteous will be there. Those in false religions will be there. Listen, those who have put off salvation for years will be there. Put it off for years. Men and women that knew the gospel, men and women brought up in the church, men and women that were full of good intentions, men and women who thought they did plenty of time, then something happened to them and they were suddenly launched out into eternity. Maybe they took a massive heart attack. Maybe they took a stroke. Maybe they got a brain tumor, I don't know. And something happened and unexpectedly they died and they find themselves now at this great white throne of judgment. And isn't it sad, coming up to Christmas time, there always seems to be sudden deaths. Always seems to happen. Men and women are launched out into eternity. And that's the hardest thing for any servant of God, taking a funeral service of somebody and you don't know where they are. People grab me, mothers grab me, son, please tell me he's in heaven, please tell me my daughter's in heaven. Please tell me my son's in heaven. Please tell me my husband's in heaven, my wife's in heaven. Everybody wants to be in heaven. But you've got to be faithful to the word of God. Then the unconverted church people will be at this great white throne. Is there a church person here today? Not converted? Many people like this in Northern Ireland, their name's on the church roll. They're involved in church activities. They pay into a church. They were brought up on the clean side of the street, but know nothing of God's salvation. Know nothing of being converted. Know nothing of being born again. Never experienced salvation. And look at verse 13. I can sense God's presence here today. I can sense the stillness here. See, we're on the scriptures. I believe that God is speaking to some heart. Look at verse 13. It also tells us that those who died at sea are going to be there. Those who died at sea. And there's been some great loss of life at sea over the years. The MV Wilhelm Gustloff sank in 1945. And 9,000 people died. The RMS Lustana sank in 1915. 1,198 people died. And then, of course, we all know about the Titanic. Sank in 1912. And more than 1,500 people died. And the unsaved will be brought back to life to stand before Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you one person that was on the Titanic that will not be at the great white throne of judgment. A man called John Harper. Hands up, has anybody ever heard of John Harper? I see a few hands up in the cars. John Harper was on the Titanic. And he was going to preach for D.L. Moody. His wife had just died. And John Harper gave up his life jacket. He went into the Atlantic Ocean and he pointed souls to Jesus Christ. And he went round men and women as they were perishing. And he was saying to them, is your soul saved? Is your soul saved? Is your soul saved? And in the Atlantic Ocean, John Harper pointed many people to Jesus Christ. But here's the point. He died himself. The true hero of the Titanic, John Harper, will not be at the great white throne of judgment. He'll be in the kingdom of God around Jesus' feet. Oh, what a contrast, the kingdom of God to the great white throne of judgment. I can hear the skeptics saying, this is never going to happen, this great white throne. I can hear the skeptics saying, this is impossible. This is fairy tale stuff. Friends, remember, God created Adam from the dust of the ground, and God will resurrect all the dead in the oceans. I also know many who think getting cremated is the end. I know many who think getting their ashes scattered at sea is going to be the end. Where I live, there's men and they get their ashes scattered at Windsor Park, the football stadium, thinking that that's going to be the end. But God knows where they are, and God demands justice. And look at verse 12 of our chapter again. John mentions here that the books were opened. God keeps a book of your life for this day. Every thought, every deed, every sin, every idle word, every dirty joke, every wrong deal, every skeleton in the cupboard, every secret sin will be revealed to the unsaved on this day. You see, this is evidence that the judge will use. Things that you did in school, things that you did in college, things that you did in university, things that you did as a young man, as a young woman, in middle age and later life, sins that you forgot about. But God has them all recorded in the books. Luke 8 and the verse 17, Jesus states, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And listen also to the Master. These are powerful verses. Matthew 12, 36, Jesus states that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Men and women, what a terrible thing it is to die in your sin. Are you getting my heart today? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's a terrible thing to die in your sin. And notice, it's the books, it's plural here. The books were opened. Notice that. Scholars believe that the Old and the New Testaments will be opened up. It's the books. The book of conscience will also be opened. This is all evidence for the judge. I remember as a young lad, I'm sure many of you remember the TV program, This Is Your Life. Michael Aspel, the presenter, he shocked some celebrity or footballer or comedian or singer. He shocked them and he brought them on to his television show. And he went through their entire life and he opened up a big red book. And everything was revealed about them. And Jesus will open up these books to reveal your life. And notice there in verse 12 and the verse 15, we have the books, but then we have the book of life. Now, what's the book of life? Most scholars believe that the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, that they are the same thing. I was doing a wee bit of digging, wee bit of research. Most believe the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, that they're the same thing. Now this book, what a book this is. This book contains all the names of people who are saved, who are born again, who are genuinely converted, and who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What a book. People's names from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every walk of life. Saved drunkards' names will be in this book. Saved drug addicts, saved immoral people, saved religious people, saved children, saved people on their deathbeds. The names will go on and on and on. What a book. Now, friends, zoom in on me, wherever you may be sitting in your car, if you can see me today. If you forget everything that I've said, I want you to look at me now. Is your name, you personally, is your name in the book of life? You personally. Not your husband. Not your wife. Not your son. Not your daughter. Not your brother. Not your sister. You personally. Is your name in the book of life? I can look back to a time at 19 years of age when I heard the gospel for the very first time and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I know today, without a shadow of doubt, that my name is in the book of life. Now, what about you? What about you? Only you know the life that you're living. Only you know if you're saved today or if you're lost. My time is gone. I'm only getting started, but there's 22. Give me 5 minutes more, then Peter will finish with a song. We have looked at the setting, the summons. Hear my final point now. Notice the sentence. Look at the sentence. Look at verse number 15 as we finish. The sentence is, John writes, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So if you know today in your present condition that your name is not in the book of life, the Bible makes it clear, not me, the Bible states that you will be cast into the lake of fire. If you were to die today in your present condition, this would be your final destiny. God's word makes it clear, you would be cast into the lake of fire. Can you see these unsaved people now? Waiting the verdict, waiting the sentence, waiting the outcome. Now is the time for judgment, and all unconverted sinners are cast into this lake of fire. Listen to Jesus again. Matthew 25, 41. You don't hear these verses preached on too much today. Jesus states, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed." This is Jesus speaking. "You cursed in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and for his angels." More than 20 times in the New Testament, hell is described as fire. This will be torment. This will be for eternity. This will be never ending. And people, this is the amazing thing, people are going to be fully conscious. You will remember this meeting. You remember our brother singing. You will remember the meetings that you have attended at these drive-ins over these months. You will remember everything. You will have your conscience. This is the second death. There's no annihilation here. And even the rich man in Luke 16, he said, "Tell my five brothers not to come to this awful place of torment." There was some heavy rain earlier. People in hell would do anything for a drop of that water. Do anything. It's too late. It's too late. They missed their opportunity. Oh, friends, this is going to be awful. This is going to be terrible. But God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is the good news of the gospel. Hear me now. This is the good news. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, for me, for our punishment, our wrath, our judgment on the cross at Calvary. What a Savior he is. And you walk past the cross and God will reject you. This is the true meaning of Christmas, isn't it? He was born into the world as a little baby and he lived the perfect life, the spotless life, the sinless life, to go on to that old middle cross, to die for sinners such as you and such as me. And oh, even at this Christmas season, that you would accept the greatest gift of all, Jesus, into your heart and life today. The wages of sin is death. But hear the gift of God. What a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No wonder the hymn writer penned, "Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, friends, isn't he altogether lovely? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What a privilege it is to be a Christian, to know that you're not be at this great white throne, but you're on your way to heaven. Oh, friend, this is why these drive-in services are on. We want you to be saved. We want you to join us in the glory land. Will you come to Christ today? Will you put your trust in him? From today, will you start serving him? And you don't have to be at this great white throne of judgment. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you're in the world. Maybe you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Would you come home today? Will you come to yourself? The Father still loves you. The Father still wants you. I know that you would come home. And dear Christian, let's get on fire for God in these days. Let's reach our neighbors. Let's reach our loved ones. Let's reach those that we see every day so that they'll not be at this great white throne of judgment. We have looked at the setting, the summons, and the sentence. I trust today, there's my time gone. I trust today that your name, I don't know who's gathered in this drive, and all I see is a lot of cars. I don't know who's here. But I trust today that your name is in the book of life. I trust it is. If it's not, do business with God today. Stay behind. Talk to us. We can keep our distance. I'm in no rush home. Drive out and come back in again, or even give me a ring. I'll come to your house and I'll stay in my car. I'll do anything that I can to help you. Because I want you to be in the kingdom of God. Maybe you have a godly mother in heaven. Maybe you have a godly father in heaven. Maybe you have a brother or sister in heaven. Oh, get saved today. Get saved today. And you'll see them again. Don't end up in hell, friend. Don't end up in the lake of fire. You'll remember these meetings for the countless ages of eternity. God's Spirit is moving. You can hear a pin drop in this service. God is among us. And I pray today that you will receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's just leave a moment's quietness before Peter comes. This is your opportunity right now as you sit in your car to do business with God. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to come into your life. Maybe you've drifted away. Say, Lord, from today I'm going to serve you with all of my heart. And if you've done so, come and tell us after. Every Christian, pray. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Your lovely Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your lovely name. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Lord, I believe that you're speaking to hearts. I believe, Lord, there's people here and their names are not in the book of life. They've never been saved. They've never been born again of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray today for men and women and young people, even little boys, even little girls sitting in these cars, that many will put their trust in you. Thank you, Lord, many here are saved and they know their names in the book of life. Lord, use us in these days. Lord, we need a move of God. We need revival. Pray, Lord, you would raise up your people, raise up your church, and that the fire from heaven would fall. Bless our brother Peter as he comes to minister his final peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.